I'm Stephen, and this is the Noah Bena Stream.
Come on over here. Come on, coward. Coward! I know that I want to punch you in the nose. I'll beat your goddamn ass, you son of a bitch. You're an intellectual dumbass, and I'm coming. You coward. You think you're a tough guy. I hate you, coward. We're going to defeat this anti-human scum. We're going to wreck their world. We are in a complete war, and you idiots don't join with the Republic. You fools.
I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted. I think they are horrible for our society.
But yes, now Facebook is going to be banning Alex Jones and InfoWars from not only their main platform, Facebook, but also from Instagram.
President Trump, please save the First Amendment. Please do the right thing and stand up against big tech.
Mark Zuckerberg is not simply censoring opinions. He's prescribing which political opinions you're allowed to have.
I want them shut down.
We're losing the thread of the concepts that are important to this country. I don't like Alex Jones, but Alex Jones gets to speak. Everybody gets to speak.
How dangerous is InfoWars?
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Right on this Tuesday, the 11th of June 2019, I am your host, Mark van Dijk. Welcome to another episode of The Void Zero, my show where I try things out and see what sticks. And as you might have heard, today had some fun with Steven, recorded some nice jingles.
My name's Steven, and this is the Noah Bena Stream.
Ain't that awesome, huh? Thanks for tuning in. This is Man Inside.
You said a word, I think it was insane. I could feel your pity and even felt the blame. You only heard the how, but didn't see the clue. Thought your convictions were the only truth. I am a man of my own. I'm leaving you right now. Already on my way. You found a glance to me, assigned it to a crime. Then you've decided to treat me like an animal. You've dragged me in the only cage you know.
me as if I was a fool. Then you will find the answer to the clue. I am a man of the moon. I'll never be a slave. I'm leaving you right now. Already on my way.
Oh, great. Manimal from Man Inside. Turns out I posted the wrong link to the stream. Darn it. Why does everything always go wrong, you know, when you're about to go live? But okay, we're here now. Hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday. If you're still, if your spirits are still up, let's see if we can change that. No. I'm kidding. It's just my spirits haven't exactly been up lately. I've been too annoyed with everything going on, both on the interwebs, you know, in terms of the entire censorship thing, which is annoying me to no end, and stuff happening in this country where people basically stopped caring about, you know, the separation of the powers, where the Ministry of Justice has now apparently communicated in no uncertain terms with a justice, you know, the district attorney, and told them to go ahead and sue one of the political leaders we have in this country, which is just a flagrant disrespect of, you know, whatever we have over here that is said to be, you know, a state that is separate, has separated the powers. Well, apparently not so much. The high-ups don't care about us anymore. They don't care about the people anymore. They don't value the you know, the morals behind the system that we set up. And they are just here for themselves. It is obvious. The quote that was given was, you need to go and charge that guy because he is a nuisance to us. You know, if I freely translate it, then that is sickening. It's terminally ill. And this country is no longer, you know, an honest state. We don't have honest representatives here. Now, the question is, did we ever? The answer is probably not. And how was it in the past? Well, you know, it used to be even worse in the past, but we worked on that. But no, it is not that case anymore. They are now taking whatever they can take. They are raising taxes. You know, today, a news report that a very large number of people in the middle class in this country are struggling to make ends meet. We used to be one of the richest countries in the world, ladies and gentlemen. What are we now? We are a vassal state of the European Union. We don't have our own rights anymore. We don't have our own sovereignty anymore. It is sickening. What is now happening here is that a few people and an increasingly small group of people are just talking with each other, you know, in these small small rooms where there's no scrutiny from the press, and just make deals. Well, if you do this for me, then I do that for you. And the few who are speaking out about this in public get demonized, get ridiculed, get insulted by bigots, get called racist and fascist, you know, get press on them. Like, for example, we have Forum for Democracy, you know, the biggest party in the Netherlands right now, according to polls. Sometimes, you know, a little bit lower than the Liberal Party, sometimes a little bit higher than the Liberal Party, which has been the ruling party, especially in the Justice Department, for years and years, maybe decades. And Forum for Democracy has a youth, well, you know, society, party, whatever, you know, just the youths. People, I think, until, you know, up to 21. And then there's this annoying journalist who is coming over there and is being skeptical about everything and falsely quoting people. And just the framing of it all is just an insult. Comparing kids to the Hitlerjugend, the Hitler youth. Sickening. And why? Because those kids are talking about stuff nobody else is talking about. They are talking about a decline in intelligence. They are asking what kind of factors, you know, play into this. Can it be education? Can it be genetics? Oh no, he said genetics, racist, fascist. That's how it's going over here. And as soon as you speak out against it, you're one of the crazies. You shouldn't talk about that. Are you a fascist? Are you an anti-Semite? It's how it always goes, and I'm sick of it. And it's been going on like this for weeks, where it's just too much to handle. Everyone in the West should not be afraid to say what they think, what they consider, what they are thinking about. But no, this is truly a war for your mind, a psychological war. This is, I think, World War III that we are already in, and it's just a matter of time before things go even worse and worse. You see it today with this story about Pinterest banning everything that has to do with Christianity. Meanwhile, abortion is being hailed like it's, you know, the best thing ever happening to women, killing babies. But as soon as you're against that stuff, or if you think, well, you know, there should be a conservative limit to abortion. I mean, I understand that some people want to get an abortion, but, you know, it should be a reasonable term. So maybe 12 weeks. Usually women know, you know, after 8 weeks if they're really pregnant. So, you know, you give them four weeks for them to reconsider, which is already, in my opinion, a little bit sick, because if you don't want a kid, then, you know, don't put it in there, or keep your legs shut, or use birth control. But no, it is not even about that. They're not even talking about birth control. They're talking about the marvel, the fantastic feeling you get when you get an abortion. I talked about this the other day with Sir Bemrose, and I quoted an article of this crazy lady who was saying that getting an abortion is like getting an orgasm in the best way she ever had. It's like scooping the final part of a Ben & Jerry box on me day, is what she said. These people, folks, are crazy. And you see it more and more here. and the conservative voices, the moderate voices that are speaking against this are being silenced. This is not just an adpocalypse, folks. Adam and John on No Agenda said some truly interesting things about the adpocalypse and about not wanting to make money over, you know, controversial things. And I, for on one hand, I agree with them. But on the other hand, we're not in the 80s anymore. We're not in the 90s anymore. We have companies like Gillette who are totally on board the virtue signal train. We have articles from news outlets where they speak about how wrong white males are. Of course, written by white females. Who else would hate us this much? It is sickening. What is happening here, what is happening in the US, it is the same. There is an agenda, folks, and it's not an agenda for us. It's an agenda to shut us up. And I don't want that. So, you know, in order to give some counterweight to that, I am running a stream here. I am making a radio show. I'm trying to inform people. But, you know, I'm not on on stuff like DLive yet, or using Twitter's what's it called, Periscope, or I'm not on YouTube. Of course, I'm not on YouTube. YouTube can suck a ding dong, for all I'm concerned. I mean, they like that stuff anyway, so let them do that. I'm not on there anymore, but you know, I don't have the numbers, the audience to reach a big crowd, and hopefully one day that will change. But for now, it's just you and me, and I rely on you to get out the message that we have a truly free stream where we can say what we want, where we invite people on board, you know, check in with us, tell us if what we're doing is okay or not, if you agree with us, or if you want to make your own thing. We have a platform here, and it is truly an open platform. It is something like, you know, Infowars.com, you know, censored everywhere. Well, we are not censored everywhere. We didn't even go on board anywhere because we saw this coming. So we rely on word of mouth. We want you to propagate the formula. We want you to tell other people, like-minded people, don't bring, you know, the opposites here. Don't bring them here. We don't need those people. We don't need the kind of people who only say that, you know, abortion is the best thing that ever happened. We don't need those people. I don't need those people. The kind of people who say, you know, don't just impeach Trump, but also impeach Pence. Those kinds of people. People who are cuckoo in the brain. NPCs. People who don't have rational thought anymore. Who don't have an internal monologue or dialogue anymore. Who don't consider things. Who see something another monkey does and repeat it. We need people who think. We don't have to agree about everything. Of course not. And I mean, it's a shame I even need to say that kind of stuff. But it's true. It's true. Anyway, so I am pissed off. I've been pissed off for a week now. Mainly because of what I'm seeing on the internet, but probably also because I'm trying to quit smoking here. Hey, it's a week, folks. It's a whole week now. Day number 7. Yes, not touched a cigarette. Still have 2 packs in the house. Didn't touch them. Did think about them quite a lot. Like a toxic girlfriend, you know. You don't want to be with her. You don't want to be without her. That's what's happening here. Want to give a big thank you to the Mark and George Show fan club, who, if we're honest, is also just the Mark fan club. Made a ton of images for me. Thank you so much, my dear friend. It is truly appreciated. I have posted the Super Saiyan Void Zero with my announcement of the stream today. Of course, I made a typo in the stream link, so I still need to make people aware of that. But, you know, most people know it already. I have a conservative audience. I'm just going to share the numbers, folks. I don't have secrets here. It is about 30, 35 listeners live, and I don't post the show yet for MP3 downloads. Maybe I should, but yeah, it's so much work to do all of that for so many shows. I've got my Dutch show, Prisma, where I am a little bit more reasonable, you know. I'm not ranting as much, thanks to my co-host who keeps me in line. We have a bigger audience there. It's about 150, I would say. Maybe 200, something like there. And that's very nice, because we only made like 7 episodes. And, you know, a big audience before the start of No Agenda usually goes up from, 50 to 200, somewhere. Very honored. It is truly a great thing to be able to do this. It is what I truly enjoy to do. I really like playing music for you, but I also really like just to talk and go off on stuff that annoys me like this, or stuff that I enjoy. There is stuff I enjoy. These days it's just slim pickings, to be honest. And most of it is the same thing. It's my 3-year-old, you know.
My name's Stephen. Stephen and Papa. I'm the Noah and the Dream.
They always split the party up and get Al killed. Acquisitions, Inc.
I'm sorry about that. Not sure what that was.
I think, that social media has become a ghetto because they change the rules arbitrarily.
The majority of the American media is biased.
Social media. It's a thing called free speech rights. You look at Google, Facebook, Twitter, and other social media giants. And I've made it clear that we as a country cannot tolerate political censorship, blacklisting, and rigged search results. And you know, it can go the other way also.
PBS has a video clip that features a woman describing her sense of peace at aborting her two twin babies. The footage shows the woman being instructed by a doctor to take medical abortion pills. The doctor says this is the stuff that makes the pregnancy stop growing and unattach a little bit from the uterus, before noting how a second pill takes 24 hours later, quote, helps to induce the cramping and the bleeding that will actually help the body push the pregnancy tissue out of her uterus and facilitate miscarriage symptoms. The woman then relates her feelings about the abortion. She says, "What I hope to feel is a sense of peace, not only with myself in the decision that I made, but also a sense of peace with these two beings that I've chosen not to bring into the world," end quote. Adding in regards to the responsibility, she says, "I can't do it right now. This is awful." People just talking about human life like it's filth that needs to be discarded from the body because, like, right now, like, it's just not a good moment. You know, I've got other things going on. I've got a job. I'm struggling to make ends meet, and now I've got to take care of a twin. Yes, you do. Or you should have kept your legs together, lady. You are pregnant. Live with it. And by the way, why do you think that life will mistreat you if you choose to have those children? Maybe things will happen, you know. Accommodate the change. Maybe life works in this way. Maybe life from the origin already, it is this miraculous thing, this thing that, you know, is beyond what we can understand, what we can grasp with our puny little minds. Maybe there is this force, this life force going through all of us, accommodating all of us if we just choose to have some faith. But no, just abort them because, you know, right now, like, I don't even know who the father is, and yeah, I don't want to give birth to two kids who might just end up being, I don't know, pizza delivery boys. That's the kind of people we have to deal with here. There was a girl in my country talking about how women are being how should I say it? When women choose to go to the abortion clinic, then sometimes there are other people waiting, trying to talk them out of it. This is assault. So now she set up a buddy system. And she called on social media to have other people accommodate these girls who want to get an abortion. And of course, many people are like, oh yeah, we should do that. We should help the victim. Who is the fucking victim here? Pardon my French. Who is the victim here? The baby killers? This is a syndrome, you know. Mothers killing their children. This is unhealthy. This is not normal. This is a sick trend. And I condemn it in the strongest of terms. Now again, I understand that there are many people who are in situations where, you know, it's really, really impossible to have a child. For example, it's just a small number of people, but people who are getting raped, women who are getting raped, get pregnant and don't want the child of the rapist. Yeah, you know, I understand. Good reason. Children who might be born with birth defects, serious birth defects. I'm not talking about, you know, missing an arm or something. That's not a serious birth defect. That's a challenge. Or, you know, in case the life of the mother will come in danger if she gets the child. Now, I don't know how that works medically, but yeah, good reason. You know, take it on face value. Yeah, good reason. 12 weeks. Why is 12 weeks not enough to decide? Why should we wait until the end? Well, you know, like I wasn't sure, so I took the whole 9 fucking months to think about it. Are you kidding me? These people don't care about anyone but themselves. Or, which is also very, very possible, they are being talked into it by, you know, aggressive guys who say, yeah, I knocked you up, but I don't want you to have the kid. Remove it. Assholes. There are many reasons for people to do this, for women to do this. And I am not saying that they are all evil. What I am saying is evil is the trend, is the way the media plays into this, is how they are framing it in some kind of treat, something that is delicious, something that is delicious as a cake. Miley Cyrus, seen her? I think it was on Instagram. I don't know. I don't have an Instagram account. I saw the picture, though, of her licking a cake that says abortion is healthcare. These people are psychopaths. And with her, with Miley Cyrus, it shouldn't even be, you know, it should be obvious. It's a Disney kid. That girl, I'm okay with saying she was probably raped from the time she was a baby, because that is one big pedophile factory. A sex factory. That whole empire. I mean, those are the really sick people, folks. They're there. And if you look at the way that they sexualize everything, you know, and sometimes I remember in the past, a few controversies came out, like them drawing a Mickey Mouse in the form of a dick and then, you know, adding a head so that it doesn't really look like a dick anymore, or putting a giant golden dildo on the cover of the Little Mermaid. Stuff like that. Them drawing sex in the sand that, you know, stirs up after Mustafa is killed by, you know, the running deer or whatever they are. Those people are perverted. They are sick. And I think it's even okay to say that they're Satanists. I truly think that they are Satanists. it's an evil trend, and we should take no part in that. We should take no pride on that. We should prefer cultures where they don't do that kind of stuff, where we still have empathy for the victims, but where we don't, you know, turn insane by what is, you know, something that is a deplorable situation. What is deplorable about the situation is the media going over and over about how wonderful it is, how important it is for women to have, you know, abortions, because there is this giant system behind it. Companies needing the organs. Man, it's just, you know, it's a sick world out there. And the older I get, the more I get confirmation that this is the case. Now, it's also a very beautiful world out there. This is just the part that is not being highlighted. And it's difficult to highlight it. How can we highlight it? Well, we can highlight it by saying, hey, the number of Christians is slowly increasing according to the church. So we don't know if it's true or if they're buffing up the numbers, but it could be. Yeah, I would understand if more people turn to the church, especially in this time when it seems that all we see is people losing their faith. A while ago in my province, there was an event of churches opening the doors to everyone so people can see, like, this 14th century church with one of the oldest organs that is in Europe. Not organs as in donors, but, you know. I'm confusing myself here. There are, you know, especially in this, in the province where I live, there are many, many beautiful things happening. You know, beautiful families growing, where you see beautiful interaction with, you know, white Dutch people and immigrants. It happens. I had a very nice interaction with these people the other day when we were at the beach, and there was also this immigrant family. But, you know, it's just, it is, it's not so much in the verbal communication, but it's just nodding, saying hello, laughing at the children, them laughing at my kid. Just, you know, human nature. And that's, we have it all, but people are so easy to suppress that stuff. It's very horrible to know that people are either so trained to respond to things in a negative way, or to just respond, you know, in with vile terms, or to condemn everything that is not them. Because, you know, that's the one thing, the one word I've never really understood is xenophobia, fear of the unknown. Because everyone has it. Because everyone is trained. It's in our nature to see risks in things. The first thing we usually do when we see something strange is to be wary of it. To see it from multiple angles and to see if there's a danger in there. Xenophobia. Remember that one? Oh, man. Brings me back. 2015, that was one of the biggest buzzwords. Well, not anymore. Now they're turning against Christianity. John Cleese saying, London is not a city anymore, an English city anymore. And getting the most egregious form of hatred thrown at him, while he is right, it is not an English city anymore. It is a diverse melting pot of cultures that do not communicate with each other, and where people condemn each other on the basis of how they look. It is normal for people to want to live around other people who look the same as them. It's not hatred. It's hatred if you say, I wish the whole world was white. I wish the whole world was black or whatever. I wish everyone was like me. But people are not saying that. Healthy people are not saying that. Healthy people are saying, you know, I'm not against it, but yeah, it's okay for people to have their own area, their own countries, their own borders, their own protection.
And it's even hypocritical, because all of those people who say right now that it's so great for the United States to open up the borders are saying that the Indians should have been left alone. How about that one? Doesn't even make sense. But now there is something called white guilt, and it is here to fuck with us all. Bill Maher saying political correctness is a cancer. You know my problem with Bill Maher? He plays both sides. Sometimes he says a little thing to pander to the left, and then he says something to pander to the right. And that's, you know, sometimes he's playing the comedian, and sometimes he's playing the serious character. That fucker. I remember him when 2001 happened, when he condemned all of the people who even asked questions about the honesty about what happened. Remember that? Two planes hitting the towers, and then immediately everyone on the media going, Osama bin Laden, Osama bin Laden, this was Islam terror. Well, I don't agree. Okay? I don't agree. There was something happening there. There were sponsors. This was a big organized event happening. But no, Bill Maher immediately saying how everyone was crazy for even asking questions. How about that plane that struck, where was it? The field? Was it Oklahoma? No, but it was, I don't know. My American topography is probably better than your European topography if you're an American, but I don't remember. But yeah, no wreckage anywhere. No debris anywhere. Nothing. Nothing, just a hole in the ground. How about the Pentagon being hit? Remember that one? When maybe a year, 1.5 years later, they gave an additional 5 frames of footage. Oh yeah, no, this confirms everything. No, it didn't. We're being played. And right now, in this year, we're being played by the same forces. We have been played by the same forces. And we will be played by the same forces unless we step up. Unless we speak out. Unless we resist. And unless we stop using the same platform. We should stop using the same platforms. We should separate information. And we should separate our platforms. Google needs to be taken apart. Facebook should be just obliterated, in my opinion. That's an evil company. That's a truly evil company. They are now going to scan your messages. Advertising, based on keywords. Smucks. They're keeping you inside an electrical bubble. And it's a toxic one. And they don't want to admit it, but they are. And they are throwing millions and millions of dollars into research on how to keep us as addicted to that stuff as possible. How to keep us using that stuff for as long as possible. How to buy the newest stuff, you know, the newest iPhone, the newest whatever. Meanwhile, blocking things. Gab, creator of the Dissenter browser, made an Apple port, got banned from the Apple store. Why? I don't know. Didn't say. They just banned them. Well, did they post something against the guidelines? No. Just got banned. We don't know why. The maker, the creator of an app designed to work with Mastodon and stuff like that. A decentralized, a federal Twitter-like system where people can create their own servers and communicate with others in order to thwart censorship. The maker of the, what's the name? Fetty Labs or something like that. Let me look it up because I have it on my phone here. I use it for the noagendasocial.com thing. Let's see. Where is it? Maybe I threw it off. Oh, Fedil app, right? That's an app you can use to go on any Mastodon server, of which there are a lot, except for gab.com, because they banned gab.com. Just in a commit on GitHub without any comment, just poof, banned it. Yeah, we want everything except for Gab. Even the goddamn creator of Mastodon, this douchebag, said, well, racism is not possible against whites. Sexism is not possible against males. That guy. This is all this sick, twisted, insane culture. And people are, I think that the people who are saying this don't even know what they are saying, don't even believe what they're saying. They're just repeating someone else who says it, repeating the entire culture of people saying this stuff. And then there are a couple of people fueling this, you know, by, you know, hammering on the white guilt. Yeah, yeah, Mozart, man. That was such an asshole. How dare he make music? How dare he? Tesla creating what we all use right now, discovering what we all use right now, electricity for everything, stolen by Edison. Yeah, that was such an asshole, you know. How dare he invent electronics? And the list goes on and on. I get tired of doing this. Yep, white guilt. That's us. The guilty white man, the guilty white woman. Kill your babies while you have the chance. It's not that bad. Just do it. You know, you'll even get an orgasm while doing it. So just, yeah, do it. Oh, hey, you're listening to conservative people on the internet? Watch out, you might become radicalized. New York Times saying this. Not even hindered by the fact that one of the people that they are mentioning is not even a white nationalist, but is herself a Muslim. And many just, you know, people, this other thing being under constant attack right now is young people discussing things on YouTube. Yeah, don't want that. We don't want people discussing things. It's dangerous. You might become even more alt-right than you already are just by being white. This trend right now, it's almost over because it cannot go on for much longer in the way it is. And I think that every decade has its own theme. People work that way. Our psyche works that way. We divide things up into chunks, whether we want to or not. This is just the way the world works. So, you know, with years, we tend to, think in generations, millennials, Generation Z, or the Zoomers, Generation X, goddamn hippies, boomers. We divide things up. We categorize things. That's normal. It's not the same as groupthink, not that much. It's just, you know, a way to for our minds to grasp things. And I think that the next decade will be a decade where if we do this thing right, if we fight this way the way I think we should, and I think the way we will see the pendulum swing back slowly at first, then, you know, a big catalyst will probably be the 2020 elections. God, I so hope Trump will win again. Even with all of his faults, his pandering to this one ethno state that seems to be free from all of the stuff that we have to deal with. I still hope he wins because he's the least worst of them all. And he also has this energy that just, you know, even if he doesn't do anything right, it still activates a ton of people into doing the right thing, into speaking out, into not shutting up, which is not what we should do. We should keep talking, folks. We have to keep talking, and we have to keep condemning everything that we don't agree with that is coming from the far right, from far left, everything that is too much on the extreme. We need to get rid of it. by condemning it, by being peaceful about it, by praying for those people. That's what needs to happen. It is time for us to speak out at our companies, to our family and whatever. Not to your mom, maybe, but, you know, just resist this leftist way of thinking that is keeping us all enslaved. One more hour coming up.
You're listening to NoAgendaStream.com. All talk, no commercials, no agenda.
Come on over here. Come on, coward. Coward! I know that I want to punch you in the nose. I'll beat your goddamn ass, you son of a bitch. You're an intellectual dumbass.
And I'm coming. You coward. You think you're a tough guy.
I hate you, coward. We're going to defeat this anti-human scum. We're going to wreck their world.
Breaking news out of Silicon Valley. Facebook has banned a number of prominent conspiracy theorists and alt-right figures.
Facebook is purging several high-profile names from its platform.
This may be one of the biggest and most impactful decisions Facebook has ever made.
Facebook taking steps to enforce its hate speech policies.
Alex Jones, Milo Yiannopoulos, Paul Joseph Watson, Louis Farrakhan, Laura Loomer, all of them were designated dangerous.
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 Dangerous people.
Dangerous individuals.
Dangerous individuals.
Dangerous individuals and organizations.
Basically, they've deemed these individuals to be dangerous.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
They call me dangerous.
Danger's my middle name.
Dangerous like hurting other people? Or dangerous as in saying things that Mark Zuckerberg doesn't like?
This is about the total rollout for complete and total censorship.
How dangerous is InfoWars?
What is the difference at this point between Trump's Twitter feed and InfoWars.com?
InfoWars tells viewers that the world is out to get them. None of this seems to repel President Trump. InfoWars content is useful to him. InfoWars personalities align with him.
I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted. I think they are horrible for our society.
I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted.
Because these corporations are controlled by a liberal few.
We're very focused on making sure that our recommendations and discovery surfaces aren't highlighting groups where people are repeatedly sharing misinformation or harmful content. And we're working hard to completely remove groups if they exist primarily to violate our policies or do things that are dangerous.
Screw your rules. Your rules go against our values, and they are patently un-American.
Mark Zuckerberg is not simply censoring opinions. He's prescribing which political opinions you're allowed to have.
We need a digital Bill of Rights.
They are becoming the public square, and they control how we interact with each other. And if you think that you are going to throw up your hands and say, well, they're private companies, you are absolutely insane, and you are part of the problem.
You are a bad person. You should be censored off the internet. Bad, yes. Bad. Get out of here, Alex.
InfoWars might have been banned from Twitter, but it seems to have found a new home over at Trump's Twitter feed.
President Trump's furious reaction to Facebook's action showcases that he is, I'm sorry to say, the InfoWars president.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
How dangerous is InfoWars?
We are in a complete war, and you idiots don't join with the Republic, you fools!
I want them shut down, I want them silenced, I want them muted, I think they are horrible for our society.
Yes, now Facebook is going to be banning Alex Jones and InfoWars from not only their main platform, Facebook, but also from Instagram.
President Trump, please save the First Amendment. Please do the right thing and stand up against big tech.
Mark Zuckerberg is not simply censoring opinions. He's prescribing which political opinions you're allowed to have.
I want them shut down.
We're losing the thread of the concepts that are important to this country. I don't like Alex Jones, but Alex Jones gets to speak. Everybody gets to speak.
How dangerous is InfoWars?
Eisenhower said, beware the military-industrial complex. And I would say that that needs to be updated to beware of what I call TIM, technology, intelligence, and media.
Loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Second hour of The Void Zero. I am your host, Mark Van Dyke. Thank you for joining and listening. Yes, Darren. I also remember when I couldn't talk enough by myself to do a show. I guess I need to quit smoking more often, huh? It really ticks me off. So, yes, thank you for remaining here, staying with me. I got a link from Cold Acid, thank you, saying, I don't know who said this, just a nickname, The Underdog, 1206, saying, the following quote, I have never been interested in white ethno-nationalism until I started being told I was somehow unworthy of being part of society by the media / the left. I do not feel superior to anyone based off of my race, but I also will not be told I am inferior. I don't want to be involved in hateful subcultures, but when the message I'm overwhelmingly receiving from the common culture in general is, fuck you, for being a straight white man, white nationalism starts looking much more appealing. If the rest of society has formed race-based gangs, as in a prison, I am going to start sitting with the other whites for group protection. That's basically it, isn't it? But here's the thing, and here's what makes my clock tick is, why are we being pushed in this direction? Why are we being pushed in this direction? And the only reason I can conclude is we are being pushed into this direction because we are the only ethno-nationalist ethno group who is not used to thinking in these kinds of tribal manners. We are always doing this. We're always trying to connect with others. I mean, it's not like, you know, colonialism was anything just good, but it also wasn't like it was anything just bad. We tried to make the best of it. Yes, bad things happened on both sides, of course. But this idea of them now coming here out of revenge is just it's crazy. What do they want? Like this maca colored soup? It's not going to happen, folks. It's not going to happen. But, you know, the ethnic group that is really trying to overcome this is being pushed back down, is being told to shut up. And I think this has been happening for 2,000 years. But, you know, it's difficult to even talk about without sounding like a fascist, a racist, an anti-Semite, and this, that. A misogynist. Am I misogynist for saying that I think women should be free as much as possible in order to take care of children when they are in children in birth-giving age? If they should be accommodated for that? If career for women, especially for heterosexual women, the career development path should just be a little bit different in order to accommodate getting children? I don't think so. I think women are wonderful. I love women. I really do. I'm a girl's guy, you know. I grew up mainly with women around me. Not a lot of guys. But I am a guy. I think like a guy. I remember when I was very young, playing with my mom, you know, just doing stuff like, I was curious about, and I was really young, I must have been like 7 years old or 6 years old, and I was curious, why do you always wear makeup? She said, well, this is just something women do, and I asked, well, should I do that? And she said, well, do you want to do that? And I was curious, so I said, yes, and she put makeup on me, and it was a game. It was just, you know, funny. Suddenly I could play being a girl. But that was just for like, well, I don't know, knowing my attention span, 15 minutes or 30 minutes. And then I had enough of it. I wanted it off again. These days, if boys say that in the same way, they're asked, hey, maybe you feel like a girl, maybe you're transgender. And they're even being pushed that way. And this is happening with the most egregious case that just we know about is this Desmond is amazing character. This boy probably on drugs and whatever and being a member of the pedo culture, pedo bear culture or whatever, you know. I've also noticed that an increasing amount of journalists are being thrown again, in jail for pedophilia and stuff like that. It's a sickening trend, and I want nothing to do with it. Innocent things are being turned into monstrous things, and I want nothing to do with it. I want people to be free. I want us all to be free, free of these shackles that are being forced on us by groups that we don't even know exists most of the time. It is heartbreaking, and we should want nothing to do with it, in my opinion. Actually, you know what? Let's go with a different one.
To agree, one blinking number is light enough to see. Strobe changing my motions into one series of stills. Windows are paintings of people staying warm, hung outside their houses where jealousy is born. And I'm longing to turn and share what I've learned. Seldom preserved our memories. Nobody can help you remember to remember to remember times like these. Write it down on your sleeve, but someone's needed for details. Things are disappearing so please. Anything. me free. You find it hard to believe the way it came to be. Yes, it was really you, and maybe it was me. I'm down, I'm down, I'm down. Now I'm losing my angel, I'm losing my angel. Now I'm losing my angel, I'm losing my angel.
Morning.
It is
the best podcast in the
universe.
The
value.
Bark.
Value.
Model. Enabling.
Stunning.
News.
Analysis.
Without
integrity.
Compromising. Advertisers.
Bark. More than
11 years.
Listen live on Thursday
and Sunday.
Opinion piece threatened the tech industry by titling the article,
Google should be afraid, very afraid. The piece continues, this is the moment the U.S. technology superpower surely knew was coming. The U.S. government is preparing to crawl all over Google to figure out whether it is an abusive monopolist. Google parent company, Alphabet Incorporated, and the other tech giants should be quaking in their fleece vests. It was reported recently that the Department of Justice is preparing to open an investigation into Google's compliance with antitrust laws. But has the tech industry actually gotten the message? Replete with all of its hubris and billions flowing in from the Saudis and the Chinese, if Silicon Valley were a country, it would be one of the richest countries on Earth. And it might as well be another country. It certainly holds the rights of its host country in utter contempt, which is why the Justice Department is finally doing something about it. I mean, after all, we are supposed to have laws, right? Reuters continued to analyze how the tech giants had rigged the game. One source said the potential investigation, first reported by the Wall Street Journal, focused on accusations that Google gave preference to its own businesses in searches. Early in 2013, the FTC closed a long-running investigation of Google, giving it a slap on the wrist. Under FTC pressure, Google agreed to end the practice of scraping reviews and other data from rival websites for its own products, and to let advertisers export data to independently assess campaigns. Google's search, YouTube reviews, maps, and other businesses, which are largely free to consumers but financed through advertising, have catapulted it from a startup to one of the world's richest companies in just two decades. And Amazon, with its single-handed decimation of retail outlets across the United States, is preparing for the worst. As San Francisco Gate reports, Amazon could face heightened antitrust scrutiny under a new agreement between U.S. regulators that puts it under closer watch by the FTC. While Facebook continues to dox the privacy of those merely using its fascistic platform to criticize one of those holding the most public of all public offices, the Speaker of the House. As Jamie White reported, Facebook has helped far-left publication The Daily Beast dox the user behind the Pelosi meme that went viral last week. In pursuing the identity of the person who uploaded a slowed-down video of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi slurring and stammering during a press conference, which was only made more surreal by slowing it down, Facebook confirmed to The Daily Beast the account belonged to one Sean Brooks, a black 34-year-old daily laborer and Trump supporter. But a Facebook official confirming a Daily Beast investigation said the video was first posted on Politics Watchdog directly from Brooks' personal Facebook account, according to the Daily Beast report. Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook, Bezos's Amazon, and YouTube's cannibalistic algorithm is the crazed musting elephant in the room. Zuckerberg's lawyer recently argued that users have no expectation of privacy, which completely contradicts Zuckerberg's claim that he will be making Facebook more private in the near future. Meanwhile, Facebook aids serial bank robbing kidnappers. The platform fueled a genocide in Myanmar and puts the Speaker of the United States Congress, favored by an invading small country known as Silicon Valley, dominating the United States Bill of Rights and its citizens. John Bound reporting.
Look at social media. It's a thing called free speech rights. You look at Google, Facebook, Twitter, and other social media giants, and I've made it clear that we as a country cannot tolerate political censorship, blacklisting, and rigged search results. And you know, it can go the other way also.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
That's the world. Welcome back, everyone. Second hour. Well, already 26 minutes in, but yeah, I wanted to play some stuff for you, so I did. Hope you enjoyed it. This is The Void Zero. I'm your host, Mark van Dijk. So we were talking about some positive things, you know, that are also happening, and the things that we are powerful in here in the West. And one of these things I wanted to highlight is there is a Dutch, well, they call her women right activist. I always have a little bit of trouble with these words because they got so conflated with people, you know, abusing these words, especially on the left, calling themselves activists when they are more like censors and whatever. But yeah, we do have a couple of real activists, and one of them is Shirin Musa, starting a campaign here in the Netherlands about the abuse that is happening to hundreds, at least hundreds of women in their homes, being locked up by their husbands or by their fathers or by their fathers-in-law, you know. So it's, I think, primarily a Muslim problem. But these are the kind of things that, you know, we try to tackle here in the West, that we are trying to open up the conversation to here in the West. Now, I am not, you know, I'm not delusional. I understand that the Islam is a part of the world. It is one of the five big religions, and wanting it all to disappear is probably something that will stay a pipe dream if you have it that way. But I think that we have two kinds of Muslims. We've got the moderate, you know, Muslims, the families who've been Muslim for at least hundreds, if not longer, of years. And you know, everyone who is peaceful in their heart should be treated in a peaceful way. Should not treat people badly based on their faith. We should not treat people badly based on their heritage. We should treat people in the best way possible. And if we are being treated in a bad way, then, you know, that kind of opens up the door to, you know, figuring out if they are a danger, and if so, kicking them the hell out. But for many people, they're not a danger. They're different from us, especially in terms of culture, of course. And one of the things that I think exists in human nature, especially in the West, is to build bridges, is to try to make our differences, to turn those differences into, you know, subjects of fascination and everything like that. Now, to be honest, I'm not at all attracted by the Muslim faith. I'm not at all attracted to the stuff happening in the Muslim countries, of course. However, we do have Muslims in our country, and we cannot simply shut the country down to them. That's inhumane. That's not what I stand for. And that is not the way we should approach the future. Now, this is different from allowing mass migration to take place, where millions and millions of Africans and millions of Muslims come here and bring their own culture and do not want to learn anything about the host, you know, country. That's something different. That's something I am vehemently against. And this is something that we should take responsibility for. Our government should take responsibility for. We should be proud of our own nationalities, and we should welcome them to assimilate, ultimately. But assimilation is, you know, a slow process. And even assimilation doesn't mean lose your culture, doesn't mean lose your identity. It means that if you visit public places, you adjust to the host culture. This is the same as if you are in Japan, you take off your shoes before you enter, you know, somebody's living room. It's normal. Now, in the West, people don't really take off their shoes in the house. We should, though. But that's for a different reason. And, you know, it's a little bit of the character of the Dutch as well, that if somebody visits you from another country, then you try, as a form of welcoming them, you figure out what kind of food they eat in their country, and you try to, you know, accommodate that. This is, the Dutch have always been like this, and I don't think that we should change that and force everyone to eat the Dutch food, because honestly, we don't even eat much of the Dutch food ourselves. This is a country where we collected a lot of things from abroad, and we kept whatever, you know, suited us best. Now, if you go back 60 years, then yeah, you know, we basically just ate taters. But now, not so much. There's a lot of different stuff in our meals. Anyway, this women rights activist, Shirin Musa, is starting a new campaign to increase visibility, to increase, you know, people talking about this problem of all these women not being allowed to join the public squares, to join the public life, to go out. Here, like, for example, just an example. Somebody I know was in the hospital at the gynecology, I think the word is. It's that word in Dutch, at least. There was a Muslim woman with a headscarf, barely spoke Dutch. She was obviously there to be examined by a doctor. So when it was her turn, the doctor came out and wanted to shake her hand. And she didn't want to shake his hand, saying, no, 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 respect, respect, no shake hand. How weird is that? Because that same doctor will look at our, you know, right in the center between her legs and examine everything. But she doesn't want to give a goddamn hand. Adjust to our culture. Give the Dutch doctor a hand. It is normal here. Don't stick to your own culture. Do it over there when you're in your own country. But over here, just shake the guy's hand, because that is a sign of respect. You think he wants to shake your hand because he thinks you're filth? That's insane. But no, if the woman shakes his hand, then she will probably get smacked at home by her husband because it was improper. She shouldn't have touched another guy. Stuff like that. Well, this is the kind of stuff that this woman's rights activists wants to shine a light on. And, you know, I doubt it that this is for all the Dutch people, because the only thing a guy like me can do is say, yeah, it's so horrible, yada, yada. And, you know, agree, this should not happen. Women should be free to do whatever they want. So, but, you know, her raising awareness of this, especially in these cultures, that's a sign of real progress, in my opinion. That's a sign of using the Dutch part of the culture to change the part of, you know, their own culture that suppresses these people. I think this is very hopeful. I think it's very, very noble of her. It is very empathetic and empathic. Empathic is the word, right? Yeah. And this is something that, you know, should be highlighted more. Should not be condemned in media. All of that. Now, it's not being condemned. It's just not really being talked about. You know, a small article in one of the newspapers, and that's it. Of course, you know, the government wanting to fund this is always a lot more difficult. It's, whenever people try to talk about this, the government just doesn't respond. And why not? Because they have their own agenda. They're not here for the people. They are here for themselves. They are here to follow a specific agenda. So what should we do? Well, we should expose that agenda. Why? So that people won't vote for them anymore. That's all that we need to do. We need to show the parts that are toxic in order for people to change their votes. We have two ways of voting in this country. We have two ways of voting in the West. One is, you know, during the elections, whatever kind of elections those are. Sometimes they're referendums. Sometimes they're, you know, national elections or local elections or whatever. And the other way of voting is with your wallet. Why do we pay for stuff we actually don't need that much? Just because it's like a trend or somebody else has it? What do we vote for with our wallets? We should think about that. What do we vote for when we pay for the premium subscription at YouTube? What do we pay for when we pay for the premium subscription on Netflix? What do we pay for? What do we vote for? It's the same thing. If we don't want to see all of that toxic stuff that, you know, is on the media, is being created, we are being bombarded with, then why are we continuing the Netflix subscription? Because there are also a couple of good movies on there. Yeah, but what are they currently pushing out? More and more junk. And what do we do with the companies who push out this junk? We make them bigger by paying them. Same with Facebook. Yeah, but you know, I don't really use Facebook except for my company. There you go. What do you vote for? What do you vote for with your wallet? What do you vote for with your vote? Or don't you vote at all? Well, you should. Even though it might seem so futile. You need to vote. You need to realize when you are voting. Why do we have so many apps that we don't even use on our phones to track everything we are doing? Throw them off. If you don't use them, get rid of them. And for me, after, you know, the recent thing that happened with the tech censorship on YouTube especially, I canceled my family account. And we are now being more restrictive of the kind of stuff our son sees on YouTube, because in the past we allowed him to kind of search for the stuff that he was, searching, you know, just he figured out how to use the tablet to move between videos. And at first we allowed it a little bit, but we decided let's not do that anymore, because what YouTube pushes up is not at all what we want him to see. Strange things on the YouTubes. Even, you know, not outrageous stuff. We know that it's on there, but, you know, the algos didn't push that up. But still, just even children's content that is basically just ads, stuff like that. Or a totally warps view of society, like, for example, children being able to play with expensive toys and, you know, checking everything out and unboxing stuff and all of that. It's not normal. It's not normal for a kid to get all these presents and feel that it's a normal thing and showing off with all that he has. It's the same thing with like this video I saw on YouTube the other day. Well, I didn't see it. I saw the thumbnail. If the person at Starbucks writes my name correctly on the cup, they get like $10,000. This is all sponsored content. What do we vote for with our wallet, with our time? We need to be considerate of what we do with our time on the internet. And if it's a waste of time, or if there is profit in there and you are not the one profiting, then why even do it? There's a ton of interesting stuff on YouTube, for now at least. There's a ton of different interesting stuff on other pages. BitChute, to name one. Stuff you can learn. You know, educational stuff. But there's also so much junk on there. And it's just, if we don't, you know, force ourselves to realize that everything we do on the internet is basically just a vote for whatever that company is pushing out, then this will just never end. We'll just get worse and worse. And before you know it,
cyberpunk is set in a metropolis of the future, where body modification has become an obsession, You play as an outlaw, an enhanced mercenary working in the sleazy underbelly of this city. Yeah.
Don't know if you saw this promotion of Cyberpunk 2077 with Keanu Reeves. Basically, a promotion of the Xbox. This is a kind of future that might be nice to see in games, but there's also a realistic component. 50 years from now, will people put cybernetics in their body? Well, we're already doing that, like pacemakers, form of cybernetics, and, limbs, for lack of a better term. There's a word for it, but, bionic stuff, whatever. But will it become a trend? Well, yeah, for some people. Is it something that we want? Well, maybe. Is it something that we will get? Well, yes, if we vote with our wallets for this kind of stuff. Maybe it's this train cannot be stopped anymore. According to many people, this is just the way we're headed and there's nothing we can do. I think it's one of the ways we're headed. I hope. And it's probably a wise idea to stop using all of these things, Gaming, I'm totally for it. But gaming your whole life or, not doing anything else with your life and just gaming? Well, I saw former colleagues of mine losing their jobs because playing World of Warcraft back then was more important than showing up on time at work. And when they did show up at work, it was either late or smelly or both. Oh man, you look like shit. What did you do? Well, I was leveling my Dark Night Elf or whatever the name is. Oh, well, great for you, buddy. You keep doing that, huh? Before you know it, you'll be getting food stamps. It won't be that bad. I still live with my parents. Yeah, you smell like it. We need to be careful of these things, people. Before you know it, we're out of time. And I don't think we're out of time yet. Do everything with moderation is my advice. This is a live episode of The Void Zero on the No Agenda Stream.
Some daytime night moves. She said to leave the radio on. Roll out for a cigarette. Don't you stay too long. Gonna play our song, honey. But you know that song never came on. And I don't think I'll make it to the next turn of the screw. Cause the only thing that keeps me here is you. Roll on, sister, roll on, just hold on to me. Roll away forever, run away from what you feel. But take the car, cause you've come this far. Who am I to keep you down? Cause my world turns on Catherine Wheels. Whenever you're around. Told us, believed in what they told us, we'd be safe here on this holy ground. Well, I guess ain't no one to blame. Student watched it go up in flames, couldn't even feel it burning down. And every night I have this dream where I'm sinking like a soul. You feel.
make the call, cause you come this far. Who am I to keep you down? Cause my world turns on Catherine wheels whenever you're around.
Played a lot of music this episode, of which I did know. Attribution. This is Fresh Body Shop with Come Get Some, and before that, Catherine Wheel with Radio Nowhere. Let's see, what else did I play?
You're listening to NoAgendaStream.com.
That's true.
All talk, no commercials, no agenda.
Yeah, that's true.
All talk, no commercials. You're listening to the No Agenda Stream.
It's my three-year-old, Steven. Yay, well done, Steven.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, we had so much fun today. I played, I played Undersco with Blue Dragish. I played Crimson Blue with LMA. I played Leslie Hunt with Lonely Home. And in the previous hour, I think I just played two songs, didn't I? Yeah, I think so. Manimal with Man Inside. And let's see, I think I played The Greyhounds with What's On Your Mind. Reaching the end of this hour, end of the show for me. Well, I feel a little bit better now. I said it before and I will say it again. Making radio for me is a little bit like therapy. I got things off my chest. I honestly feel better right now, which is great, great news for my fiance, my wife, my girlfriend, whatever. We're all of that. Not officially married. I guess I'll just call her my fiance until we're, you know, legally married. Who cares? I don't. Not much. I love her, so. And yeah, well, in other news, I finally managed to get my mobile podcasting rig working, which is very nice because sometimes I'm just not able to make it to the studio like last Sunday. So from now on, I will be able to do it mobily. That's a word. I'm not even sure. And yeah, I guess that's about it. So all things come to an end. It's time to end this one. Thank you so much for listening. Hope to see you again next time, which will be probably Friday. Unless you're a Dutch listener, every Wednesday, this Wednesday as well, at 2 o'clock p.m., the Prisma podcast, together with my co-host Sven, we will look mainly at the developments here in the Netherlands. Need to prepare for that still. A little bit behind, but okay, we'll work it through. We always get it, nail it, you know. And yeah, that's it for me. So thank you so much for listening. Don't forget Dvorak.org/innate to keep the whole stream up and listener count high. Tell other people about the No Agenda stream, please. And hopefully see you again next time with the Void Zero. My name is Mark van Dijk. Thank you so much for listening. And see you next time, everyone.